Title: Second Drop Bass Variations Masterclass for DJ Friendly Sets Advanced. Alright, let's get into one of the most important make or break moments in drum and bass. The second drop, because in a DJ context, the second drop has a job. It's not just do it again, it's either level up the bass so the repeat feels justified, or twist the vibe just enough that it feels fresh, while still beating mixable and predictable for a DJ to work with. And that's the key phrase for today. DJ friendly. We want harder and newer, but not chaotic. We want impact that survives a blend. We want movement that locks to the drums, not movement that fights the groove. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a bass system with two drop states. Drop 1 is your clean, foundational, stable identity. Drop 2 is the upgrade, built using controlled variation, macro style changes, call and response fills, and phrase-based structure. Let's build it in Ableton Live using mostly stock tools. Step 0. Set up a DJ-friendly arrangement grid. Before we touch sound design, we're going to set the chessboard. Open arrangement view. Set your tempo somewhere in the classic DNB range, 172 to 176 BPM. Now place locators so your phrase is obvious. For example, put drop 1 start at bar 33, drop 2 start at bar 49. The exact bars don't matter, the spacing does. Make it 16 bars of drop 1, then 16 bars of drop 2. And I want you to think in 4 and 8 bar energy phrases. DJs love predictable tension and release. In DNB, a lot of variation naturally lands around bar 9 and bar 13, and the big switch is bar 17, the start of drop 2. So we're going to use that language on purpose. Extra coach note here. Think DJ energy curve, not more automation. If everything is moving all the time, nothing feels special. The second drop reads bigger when your density of events increases in a predictable way. More mid accents, sharper articulation, slightly tighter gaps. Contrast is the entire trick. Step 1. Build a three-lane bass rack. Sub, low mid, mid top. Create one MIDI track and name it Bass Bus. Add an audio effect rack. Inside it, create three chains. Chain A is SUB. This is mono and stable. Drop an operator on it. Oscillator A is a sine wave. Give it a short release so it doesn't click, but also doesn't smear into the next note. After operator, add EQ8, low pass it around 80 to 100 Hz. The goal is simple. The sub lane is not here to be interesting. It's here to be reliable. Then add utility. Set width to 0%, mono, always. Set the gain so your sub level is consistent between drops. Rule for today, your second drop should not rewrite the sub fundamentals every bar unless you want chaos. The sub is the anchor for DJs. Keep the anchor. Chain B is low mid. This is weight plus movement. Add wave eatable. Use a sawish basic shape vibe. Optional second oscillator with subtle detune if you want thickness. Filter LP24 with a bit of drive. Then add saturator. Drive somewhere like 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. That gives you density without instantly nuking your headroom. Then EQ8. High pass around 90 to 120 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub lane. And watch the 200 to 400 Hz region. That's where cardboard buildup happens fast, especially when you saturate. Optionally, add a compressor for glue, but don't squash it just because you can. We want controlled, not flat. Chain C is mid-top. This is character. This is where your second drop hype lives. Use wave eatable or operator. FM can be amazing here. Then add auto filter. Band pass or low pass depending on your vibe. And we're going to map that cutoff to a macro later. After that, add amp. Try something like rock or heavy for edge. Then redux, but subtle. Downsample just a touch, like 10 to 18 kHz, and keep dry slash wet low. This is spice, not soup. Then EQ8. High pass around 150 to 250 Hz, because this lane should not interfere with your sub and low mid weight. Tame harshness around 2 to 5 kHz if it starts biting your snare or hurting your ears. Then utility. Width can be wider here, like 120 to 160%, because this is mids only. But we're not widening anything below about 150 Hz. Clubs will punish you for that. Step 2. Write a drop 1 bass pattern that's DJ solid. Make one MIDI clip that drives all chains. I recommend an 8-bar clip that loops for drop 1, because DNB likes long phrases, but you still want a manageable unit. Keep it rolling and syncopated, but not overly busy. Pick a key that's common and practical in DNB, like F, F sharp, or G. Advanced tip. Build a hook cell, a 1 or 2 bar motif that's recognizable, because the best second drop variations don't feel like a new song. They feel like the same identity. Upgraded. The hook cell is the identity. Step 3. Build your second drop validation macros. Go back to your Audito effect rack and create 8 macros. This is your control panel for drop 2. Here's what to map. Macro 1. Mid filter cutoff. That's the auto filter cutoff on the MIDTOP chain. Macro 2. Mid resonance. Macro 3. Wave eatable position or FM amount. Something that shifts harmonics in a formantish way. Macro 4. Drive. Map saturator drive on LOWMID, and you can also map amp gain on MIDTOP if you want one knob for intensity. Macro 5. LFO rate if you're using LFO movement in waveable. Macro 6. LFO amount, like filter modulation depth. Macro 7. Noise or texture level, either oscillator noise or a separate layer volume. Macro 8. Reese width, basically utility width on MIDTOP. Now, set sensible ranges. This is huge. Don't map filter cutoff from 20 Hz to 20 kHz like a maniac. Tighten it. Something like 200 Hz up to 4 kHz is a musical range. Same with width. Cap it so you don't go phase mad, like 100 to 160%, because DJ friendly means predictable translation. If your bass disappears in mono or gets weird in a blend, the second drop is not an upgrade, it's a liability. Step 4. Create drop 2 variation without changing the whole patch. This is the philosophy, same identity, new attitude. Method is clip-based automation. Duplicate your 8-bar bass clip. Rename one drop 1 bass and the other drop 2 bass bar. For drop 2, automate a few key changes. Increase drive by around 10 to 25% compared to drop 1. Not a massive jump, just enough to increase harmonic density. Speed up your LFO rate in select bars, like bar 4 and bar 8 of the phrase, so it feels like a controlled surge. Add more filter movement, bigger cutoff swings, and introduce small wave-eatable position shifts, like stepping through slightly different vowels. Notice what I'm not saying. I'm not saying change everything. We're choosing a small number of moves that read clearly. Method B is a slash B chain switching, and this is super DJ-friendly because it's a clean switch flip. Inside mid-top, create two parallel chains, MID A for drop 1, MID B for drop 2. Give them slightly different filter types or distortion flavors, then automate chain volumes. During drop 1, MID A is on and MID B is muted. During drop 2, MID B is on and MID A is muted. That makes drop 2 feel like a deliberate upgrade on bar 1 of the second drop, which is exactly where DJs and dancers expect it. Step 5, add call and response fills every 4 or 8 bars. This is the secret sauce. A lot of second drops feel bigger because of strategic fills, not constant modulation. Make a 1-bar fill clip, usually the last bar of each 8-bar phrase. In that fill, increase motion. Spike the LFO rate. Do a quick pitch dip or rise, 1 to 3 semitones, but keep it on the mid lanes, not the sub. Do a quick band pass yoy moment with auto filter. You can also add frequency shifter with tiny amounts for metallic neuro flavor and automate it higher just for the fill. Teacher tip, if the fill feels sick in solo but weak in the full mix, you probably put the excitement in the wrong frequency zone. Often it's either too fizzy up at 8 to 12 kHz or it's fighting the snare around 200 Hz. The best fills live in a controlled mid band and respect the drum transients. Step 6. Side chain and dynamics to keep it mixable. Second drops fail all the time, because people make the bass louder but less controlled. The DJ here is bigger, but the dance floor here is messier. On the bass bus, add a compressor and side chain it from the kick, or from a kick and snare group. Ratio, 3 to 1 up to 6 to 1. Attack, 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release, 60 to 120 milliseconds. Tune to the groove. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. And here's a major mindset shift. Keep drop 2 perceived louder through harmonics, not a plus 6 dB fader move. Peaks can stay similar. We're increasing mid-density, not creating low-end spikes. Extra coach note, if you want to be really serious, compare drop 1 and drop 2 by peak level and by perceived loudness. Drop 2 can show a slightly higher RMS because of harmonics, while peaks stay similar. That's the bigger without sloppier sweet spot. Step 7. DJ-friendly mix decisions for drop 2. Keep sub consistent in notes and level. Add excitement in 200 Hz to 5 kHz. Avoid widening below 150 Hz. Avoid big reverb washes on bass. Clubs will turn that into mud instantly. Do a practical check. Put spectrum on the master and compare drop 1 versus drop 2. Drop 2 should show richer harmonics, not uncontrolled low-end spikes. And do a fast mono test Put utility on the master and set width to 0. If drop 2 collapses, your bigness was mostly stereo tricks. Fix it by focusing on harmonic content, transient shaping, and clean midrange. Quick advanced variation ideas you can try. Still DJ safe. 1. Same notes. New groove. In drop 2, don't change pitch. Change note lengths and rests. Shorten the first note of each bar for punch. Add one extra offbeat ghost note every 2 bars in the low mid only. Or move one syncopation hit earlier by a 16th in bars 7 and 8 for a mini stumble. Use the note length MIDI effect on the mid lanes only. Keep the sub untouched. 2. Introduce an energy lane accent voice for drop 2. A short bark or yoy that hits once per bar or every 2 bars. Band limit it, like 300 Hz to 3.5 kHz, so it doesn't step on hats and air. DJs will perceive this as a new hook, while your core bass stays the same. 3. Phrase-coded variation. Give each 4 bars a rule. Bars 1 to 4, more drive and tighter filter motion. Bars 5 to 8, occasional pitch dip in mids. Bars 9 to 12, new vowel position. Bars 13 to 16, busiest fills and fastest modulation. That's how you get progression without random knob wiggling. 4. Quantize modulation to groove. If your LFO is free-running, drop 2 can feel messy. In Waveedable, use LFO retrigger tied to note on. Change LFO rate only at bar boundaries, like every 1 or 2 bars, not as a continuous ramp. Movement that's locked to drums reads as heavier. Now, common mistakes to avoid. Don't change the sub pattern too much in drop 2. DJs lose the anchor and it stops feeling like a second drop. Don't over-automate everything. Your hook turns into noise. Don't make drop 2 wider instead of bigger. Wide bass can vanish in clubs. Bigger is harmonic density and transient control. Don't distort without re-eking. Saturation adds low mid buildup. Always recheck 200 to 500 Hz. And don't ignore the drum relationship. If your snare is the star, don't create mid fight around 180 to 250 Hz. Alright, mini practice exercise. This is your discipline test. Goal: make a second drop that feels 20% more intense with 0% more clutter. Take your drop 1 bass clip, 8 bars. Duplicate it for drop 2. For drop 2, apply exactly 3 changes. First change: increase saturator drive on the LOWM ID by plus 2 dB. Second change: add one call and response fill in bar 8, like a filter or LFO spike. Third change: slightly different mid-filter movement, like opening cutoff about 15% more than drop 1. Bounce a quick reference and a slash beat. Drop 1 should feel stable. Drop 2 should feel like the same tune, but more dangerous. Bonus: test in mono again. This audio version is shortened for playback.